All right, well, thanks so much, Jeff. So I'm going to provide the snapshot of where we are with implementation of the marketplaces as a jumping off point, hopefully for a broader discussion about what this means long term. But, oh, there's my disclaimer. Okay. So the goal of the ACA is to make coverage more available, more reliable, and more affordable. And it does this by building on the base of employer-sponsored coverage and then filling in the gaps in today's system. It expands Medicaid to low-income adults with incomes up to 138% of the federal poverty level, or about $16,000 for an individual. And then, in addition, creates these new health insurance marketplaces where people can go to shop for and purchase private insurance. Through these marketplaces, there will be subsidies available to make the coverage more affordable for moderate-income individuals. And then all of this is made to work with health insurance market reforms that will prohibit insurers from denying people coverage or charging them more simply because they're sick, and also a requirement that all individuals who have access to affordable coverage, with some exceptions, purchase that coverage. So in terms of the marketplaces, the ACA actually envisioned that all states would set up and operate their own state-based marketplaces, but that's not actually how things played out over time, primarily due to political opposition. But where we ended up is we have 16 states and the District of Columbia that are running their own marketplaces. Another 7 states are partnering with the federal government in running the marketplace, and that leaves 27 states in which the federal government is running the marketplace. Now, I should note 2 states, New Mexico and Idaho, that are technically running their own marketplaces, so they have a state-based marketplace. Because they kind of got a late start with implementation, they are relying on the federal IT infrastructure for the first year of operations, which means residents in those states actually have to go to healthcare.gov in order to enroll. So the marketplaces did open on October 1st, though obviously with a great deal of problems. I will say that the healthcare.gov, the federal website, which again is the primary vehicle through which residents in 36 states will apply for coverage, seems to have suffered the most significant technological problems. But all of the state-based websites, there were some glitches, but for the most part, the states got their sites up and running, and many of them are functioning well today. There are a few that are still having problems. Cover Oregon, for example, still is not allowing people to enroll online. People in that state have to apply via a paper application with the assistance of a navigator or certified application assister. And then there are ongoing problems in Hawaii and Vermont and a handful of other states. But I will say that the websites are improving, and that does include healthcare.gov. It's been obviously all over the news of late, but there are improvements being made day by day. And I should note that, again, the open enrollment period, which began on October 1st, does run through March 31st of next year. So people have until March 31st to sign up for coverage. So that does buy these websites, healthcare.gov, as well as the state-based websites, some time to get them up and running. But I will say that these problems need to be addressed fairly soon. So the ACA transforms how people apply for and enroll in coverage, and it provides multiple ways to enroll. Obviously, the primary way is through the website, but there are other avenues that people can take. They can apply over the phone by calling a call center. They can apply with the assistance of a navigator, or certified application counselor, or other in-person assister. They can even submit a paper application. And there is a single application that will determine eligibility for Medicaid, for the Children's Health Insurance Program, as well as for the premium tax credits in the marketplace. So a single application for multiple programs. In addition, with the creation of the Data Hub, which you may have heard about. There's now electronic verification of information that consumers submit on their application, which allows for real-time eligibility determinations. So people applying through the marketplace websites no longer, if they are deemed eligible for Medicaid, no longer have to wait 45 days for an eligibility determination. And so this is happening in real time, and again, maybe not so much real time for people who are struggling with and facing problems with the websites, but once those problems are fixed, this is how this process is supposed to work, and it truly does transform how people apply for and enroll in coverage. So what do we know about the marketplaces today in terms of choice of insurers, premiums, as well as enrollment? Well, across most marketplaces, consumers will have a choice of insurers and lower than expected premiums. So the number of insurers that are participating across the marketplaces ranges from one in two states, West Virginia and New Hampshire, to 15 in insurers. In addition, there are rural areas in another eight states where there is only one insurer. So there are still some problems across the states with limited competition. And that's problematic in part because premiums in those areas are higher than they would otherwise be because of the lack of competition. But what I will say is what we're seeing across the marketplaces is generally a reflection of how the individual markets across the states function today. So in states where there was competitive individual markets, there are competitive marketplaces for 2014. But the hope is that if these marketplaces do take hold, that particularly in states where there is less competition, more insurers will be kind of incentivized to participate in these marketplaces. Now, in terms of the premiums, almost across the board, premiums came in lower than what was projected by the Congressional Budget Office. I think whether or not those premiums remain low is going to depend in large part on who actually enrolls in coverage through the marketplaces. But the fact that these premiums were lower than expected does mask pretty strong variations both across and within states. But the availability of the tax credits will go a long way, actually, to both further reducing the cost of coverage and smoothing out some of these variations in premiums. And we released a report just yesterday that estimates about 17 million people will be eligible for subsidies in the marketplaces in 2014. So, enrollment. As I'm sure you've all heard, the federal government has yet to release enrollment data for the 36 states in which people are applying through healthcare.gov. We've heard from CMS that we will get those enrollment numbers next week. But in the meantime, we have been collecting some enrollment data from handful of states that are reporting, that are running their own marketplaces. And to date, over 145,000 people have enrolled in coverage. Now, I will note that California, where we expect there to be huge enrollment, has not yet reported enrollment numbers. So once those numbers come in, which we expect again in the next week or two, this number should increase fairly dramatically. You can see that things are working in a handful of states. The most robust enrollment seems to be in Washington, New York, and Kentucky. I will say that in all of those states, the websites worked well. In Washington, there was a massive failure early on. They brought the website down for several hours on October 1st, but then got it back up and running, and it's been running fairly well ever since. So we'll continue to monitor enrollment. I think these numbers are really quite preliminary, and you know, so we'll just kind of have to continue to watch these. But One of the larger issues I think we are all facing as we think about, you know, trying to connect people to coverage is that there is a general lack of awareness about the ACA and about the marketplaces in particular. We do a monthly tracking poll, and in September we asked respondents whether they knew when the marketplaces were due to enroll. And you can see that of the total public, almost two-thirds did not know that the marketplaces were opening on October 1st. And perhaps more strikingly, almost three-quarters of the uninsured did not know that the marketplaces were opening. So I think we have a lot to do to educate and provide outreach to particularly the uninsured and those who will be eligible for coverage in the marketplaces. And so again, in our most recent tracking poll in October, we did learn that awareness of the ACA has increased since implementation of the marketplaces, I think because of the media coverage, because of outreach efforts at the state level. But it's still distressing that 55% of the uninsured that we surveyed indicated that they didn't know enough about the ACA to know how it would affect them personally. And these are the people that the ACA is particularly designed to help and to reach out to and provide coverage to. So again, still a great deal of work to be done. But the ACA does provide multiple strategies for providing consumer assistance. So obviously the main vehicle is this new website through which people have relatively easy access to apply for and enroll in coverage. But there is a call center available across all states, whether it's a state-based marketplace or a federal marketplace. People can call the call center, have their questions answered. They can also apply over the phone with the assistance of call center staff. And then the ACA also funds people on the ground, community-based organizations on the ground across the states. These are known as navigators, in-person assisters, as well as certified application counselors. And these are individuals who will go out, provide education and outreach, can sit down with consumers, walk them through the application and enrollment process. So these folks are going to play a very important role during this open enrollment period, particularly as we continue to face problems with some of the websites. Unfortunately, the funding for consumer assistance varies quite significantly across the states. And you can see here that states running their own marketplaces had access to a great deal more resources to fund these navigators and in-person assisters. And so we did an analysis looking at the funding of these entities per non-elderly uninsured. And you can see it ranges from $1.52 in New Jersey up to, and it's not even on here because the scale, it skewed the scale so badly, but D.C., Washington, D.C. is spending over $100 per uninsured to provide this enrollment assistance. And again, if you look at those states in orange up at the top of the bar, the ones with the least amount of funding, those are states that have the highest numbers of uninsured. So there's a lot of work to be done, but hopefully over time we can get more of these people organized and out in the communities to provide the outreach and assistance. So I want to quickly turn, I'm running low on time, but I want to quickly turn to another issue. I know we are here to talk about the health insurance marketplaces, but I do think there's an important aspect of the coverage expansions in the ACA that's worth discussing, and this has to do with the Medicaid expansion. So the ACA envisioned that all states would expand the Medicaid program, as I said, to 138% of the federal poverty level. But the Supreme Court, in its ruling last summer, which upheld the constitutionality of the ACA, did essentially make the decision whether or not to expand Medicaid optional for states. And so where we are today is that 26 states, including D.C., are expanding Medicaid, and 25 states aren't. Now, the implications of these decisions not to expand Medicaid are pretty significant in that it leaves a coverage gap for poor adults who are not currently eligible for Medicaid in their states. And that's because the premium subsidies are designed for people with incomes between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level. So folks with income below the poverty level simply don't have access to affordable coverage. Now, we estimate that about 4.8 million people, poor adults, will not have access to coverage because of state decisions not to expand the Medicaid program. So again, the ACA, as it's being implemented, won't be providing as great coverage, as broad coverage, to individuals across the country, leaving the most vulnerable people uninsured because of state decisions not to expand Medicaid. So just to quickly wrap up, the problems with healthcare.gov and the state websites, as I said, they have to be fixed soon. People have until December 15th to enroll in coverage for that coverage to begin on January 1st. HHS has indicated the healthcare.gov website will be running smoothly by the end of this month. Hopefully that is true. But even with websites up and running and this new streamlined enrollment processes, we're going to still need on-the-ground enrollment assistance and targeted outreach to really reach out to potentially eligible populations. And while it's too early to measure the success or failure of the marketplaces, I do think that whether or not consumers perceive marketplace coverage to be affordable over the long term and of value to them is really going to determine the ultimate success of these marketplaces. And I will just close with, as you know, despite all of the challenges, I think the ACA does provide a historic opportunity to expand coverage. And I feel like once we get past this point of getting people into coverage, we can then begin to address the bigger issues, such as improving overall population health. So with that, I'm going to wrap up and turn to Nancy.